On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Hello, good listeners. Welcome to the Tall Can Sports Podcast. Rob over there. Yeah, it was all right.
Come on, man. I fucking lifted it and everything.
Yep. But it just didn't have that.
What a greedy, needy prick you are.
Greedy, needy.
Meaty.
Sounds like a Dr. Seuss, horribly offensive fucking. I have a question for you.
Everything a guy can ask. All your complaints. Lifted, I waited, the cue was there, bang,
true,
pop it.
True. But then it was just kind of...
It's never good enough for you. This is like a terrible marriage.
You won't admit
marriage.
That was a... Well, that's true for a million reasons.
I could do way better.
I don't know. You'd fix yourself up now.
What's it going to say? I go in for a much tighter model than that.
The Philadelphia Eagles win the Super Bowl, which makes them...
Yes, Eagles.
This makes them back away from the microphone while you make your gross digestive sounds.
Can't do it, man. I can't do it. I'm addicted to it.
Makes them the fifth team to fifth city to ever win a Super Bowl, a Stanley Cup, a World Series, and an NBA title. Would you care to take a stab at the other four cities?
Okay.
So I don't have a set time limit, but I can't give you, you know.
Okay. So obviously New York, Chicago, LA, New York, Chicago, LA, Boston.
So he's just naming the big four markets.
Okay. But.
And he's correct.
Yeah. But easily. Let's go with.
Well, no. Those are the four cities.
Did you say five?
Yeah. They become the fifth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look at me. I am so smart. S-M-R-T.
I have a feeling, would they talk about this on TSN 1200 or?
No.
No.
But to me, that's a no-brainer.
Well, New York seems, and L.A. L.A. is an interesting one because of their history with.
Well, and the Kings have won two cups recently, right? So.
Sure. But they have had an interesting history with the NFL.
Yeah. And you know what? Were they in Los Angeles when they won the... Clearly they were.
Yeah. Obviously,
hey,
a couple of NBA titles.
Hey, because I answered your question, right? No, don't cast dispersions on me.
To me, that was the interesting one when I was confronted with the same question. Okay. Obviously, the Lakers with Shaq and Kobe and what they did. The Kings, obviously.
Dodgers.
But the Dodgers... And
Oral Hershiser.
The Dodgers and the Rams?
It's Raiders.
Raiders.
John Matt. John Madden.
Probably not.
Yeah. Well, who else would have won a...
That's what I'm thinking, right? Like, these are the answers.
The Rams have never won one. So they must have been the LA Raiders at the time.
Okay. And I'm saying, to me, that was the interesting one because they've had both baseball and football has had a really interesting relationship with LA for a while, in terms of being in and out. And I mean, the Dodgers have been there since they've been there, but they haven't always been particularly good. Think LA, you know, the U.S. second biggest market, you know, New York is known for, even rightly or wrongly, right? Like the Knicks have this place in history, despite having been terrible for quite a while now,
right?
As this storied franchise, right? And you don't really think that out in LA with the Dodgers or anything in the NFL.
But see, in the 90s, they had two different runs, right?
Yeah.
They had the Valenzuela.
Right.
Yeah, year, which is, I don't know, 83, 84, whatever that was.
And then the
Oral Hershiser year that the Dodgers and Gibson, Kirk Gibson and Tommy Lasorda beat the A's.
Right.
Right. So just in that time period.
Boston is interesting as well because a lot of their success has come very recently.
Lately.
Right?
that's a city that sucked for a long time.
And a couple of great tweets after the Super Bowl. I'm sorry to all you long-suffering Boston sports fans who jumped on the bandwagon in 2004, right? When all of a sudden the Patriots were good and the Red Sox were good. The Bruins won in 2011, I think it was.
Yeah, 2011.
And who am I missing? Celtics. Yeah, they've obviously a pretty storied franchise there.
Yeah.
And are good again.
For sure. And they had, good right now, but then they had that run with Paul Pierce and a couple other guys.
Yeah, Kevin Garnett.
And, yes. But they had that sort of run where they were sort of contenders.
Yeah, coming out of the East, and they were playing that West Coast Lakers team, I believe. Or was that a little later?
A little later, I think.
Okay, you're probably right.
Post Shaq and Kobe, right? It was just Kobe at the time.
I was through the whole battle there. The Shaq Kobe thing. I was always a Shaq guy.
Well, it's hard to be though, right? When you look at it and go, he leaves, and then Kobe still.
Yeah.
Kills it a bit.
But Shaq's cool, right? Like Kobe, I don't know. Kobe always came off as that kind of superstar douchebag, whatever.
Yep.
Shaq.
Fun loving.
Yeah.
He'll crush a lawn chair. He'll get into the little
I get that.
He'll get into the little mini car.
I can get into the crush a lawn chair party, right? Like I know how that
His
goes.
His head'll stick out.
But there's all these, you know, when they talk about all your SportsCenter top tens on whatever, one-liners or feuds or whatever. It's always, now he's the big Shaq-ness, right, when he goes to Arizona.
He's everything, right?
And he's always got the nicknames. He's always sure. got, I don't know, there's something about Shaq.
When he was drafted into Orlando, like he put that, he's like Disney. He was like bigger than life, right? And you're right there in Orlando.
Yeah.
And he brought them to a final.
No, it's true, man. I'm with you. He was a more fun character. You always kind of wanted to. I always wanted to root for more than
Kobe. And a big body like that is going to break down quicker,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
Whereas Kobe, the more athletic, fitter,
and there's no denying what a player he was. But, you know, to me, Shaq was just more fun.
Well, right? And Shaq's going to say outlandish
Kobe,
shit.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
Yeah.
Like all these sorts of
for sure. And Kobe's just going to do his thing, right?
Now he's on TV with Charles Barkley just two old fat guys yelling at each other.
And honestly, for sure, and that clip of Shaq trying to get up, he was walking and on the set and he tripped and went, took out like soundboards and he's wearing a $2,000 suit at least, right? That much cloth, let alone have it.
It's like a Buick missing a seat cover somewhere.
So, a couple of couches.
Right.
I swear there was drapes in here. Gone.
What were your thoughts on the Super Bowl this year, man?
You know what? I loved it.
Did anyone play defense anywhere at any time? Just up and down the field?
One punt in the game, and New England didn't have one at all.
Yeah.
Now, I loved it because A, the Patriots lost.
Sure.
But B, the Eagles were a great story.
Yep.
And, you know, to be
if
this—
If it wasn't for their fans—
Well, they're fans. What a ridiculous bunch.
Literally, I wish I was exaggerating, folks. Literally, during the party, eating horse shit off of sidewalks in downtown Philadelphia.
And what is the, I don't get that. Hey, we won.
I'd like
Wanna
to
see
eat
me
some
eat
shit.
Horse shit?
Well, there's people chanting to do it. And once people chant, I guess you gotta.
People jumping off the awning of the Philadelphia, you know, Ritz-Carlton or whatever that was.
But have you seen the video of the shit eater?
No.
Like, this is the thing. It's gotten like 800,000 retweets. That's what you are now, buddy. You're the shit eater.
Yeah.
And so there was people just chanting as some, like, I don't know where it comes from. Would they have horse mounted police
sure,
in Philly?
Yeah, for sure. They'd be out.
And so I'm sure, I guess that was all I could come up with in terms of where. And so the video obviously cuts in like someone's fired up their phone going, oh my God, something awful is about to happen. Fired up their phone. And there's a crowd of people gathered around one guy on the sidewalk going, Eat it. All right, I'll eat the shit. That's a real thing that happened during the Super Bowl.
I know, but
fucking Philadelphia, man.
Really, though, when you bring it right now into it, eating horse shit, I bet you isn't that bad.
Eat it. Yes. Eat it.
Okay, wait. You know what?
What has to happen, man? The Sens win the Stanley Cup.
No, I'm doing it for a monetary value.
Oh.
I'm not doing it if my team wins.
I have $17 in my pocket.
You're getting close, but you're not there. But to me, it's going to be a bunch of grain, and it's going to be a bunch, especially those horse. Those
it's shit.
I'm just telling you, once you crack that bad boy open, it's just a road apple, just a road muffin right there. Crack it open, especially if it's hot. Don't worry about that.
To me, the
game. But I'm not eating it if my team wins. This is what I'm saying. For a monetary value, I'm doing it. And I'm putting it out there, 50 grand. I'll eat a road apple for 50 grand.
Start a GoFundMe.
Okay, no problems. Come across with your 50G and I'll eat one ball of horse shit.
That is perfectly fucking capturable. I haven't talked over it. That may be the new Tall Can Sports opening segment.
It's like Buddy on Tigor, local radio here. Somebody has it frozen with him saying, I like dongs.
Yours is worse.
He's referring to home runs, but yeah, I like dongs.
He's saying I like dongs, and that's you verbally committing to eating horse shit at 50 grand.
50 grand. No problems. I will eat a ball of horse shit.
How big's the ball? I don't even care.
It's a little smaller than baseball.
No. Horse shit comes in balls much bigger than...
No, it does not. If you've been around enough horses, that's about it.
Road apple is...
Man, and I'll eat it hot.
Give you a little mustard or something. To me, man, that was a wicked exciting football game that I'm not going to remember in 2 months.
See, the thing is, the playoffs, and we talked about this in the sort of the brief touch on the run-up to it, the playoffs have been fantastic.
Yes, totally agree.
And if nothing else, I don't care what it says about ratings or what. I am more interested in the NFL right now than I was at any other time, probably.
What would it do for you if the XFL was kicking off this weekend?
Don't care.
Okay. You can go back, check that out on the last Tall Can Sports. I think that's kind of, and we're not going to get into it, but I really think that's what the XFL is hoping for. People are wicked excited off an awesome Super Bowl, and here's more football right now.
Yeah, but you want more football. You want more, you know, Tom Brady and the Carson Wentz, Nick Foles talk, and what's going to happen in Minnesota with their three non-quarterbacks. And
I know I spend a lot more time on the Twitter than you do, but yeah. During the Super Bowl beforehand, and I had to fight myself to not tweet in response. There was a couple of prominent American sports reporters saying, we're here in Minnesota and it's minus whatever, I don't know the conversion in Fahrenheit, but it's cold. Yep. And there's no tents, there's no heaters, we're lined up out here. Like, the Grey fucking Cup, I'm not lined up in the cold, I'm watching the game in the cold, right?
Yeah.
In November, not January. Now, that's kind of a very my sport versus your sport, Canada versus USA thing, but...
You're soft as shit, Americans. That's what I'm really saying.
There's a little bit of that, at least American sports reporters, because I truly believe Minnesota sports fans are prepared to watch games in the fucking cold.
For sure they are.
People flying in from New England are prepared. People flying in from Philly are prepared. Like, those are cold weather cities. It's shitheel sports reporters that are...
Right. Soft as shit.
Yeah. But there's a lot of talk of... Like, to me, this was a really exciting football game in the moment, but there was no one big There's no David Tyree moment, right? There's no...
Yeah, you're not going in for that fourth and one.
Oh, that was exciting.
Pass to Nick Foles. Yeah.
Especially on the heels of Brady dropping a pass.
It? This is it.
I get it. It was exciting, and it was highly... I was going to say highly offensive. That may be the after party in Philadelphia. But the offense was fantastic. You're waiting for a stop. You're waiting for someone to make a play. And really, this wasn't one of those miracle things or wasn't one of those underdog things. This was Philly basically hanging with and then outplaying New England right to the end.
Right. And you know,
with a backup quarterback.
And the most interesting.
And Brady kind of sucked.
Yep.
Like, despite having gone 600 yards or whatever he did, I know that
500 plus yards. First quarterback in Super Bowl history to throw for over 500 and lose.
So, believe me, I understand when I say, oh, Tom Brady sucked, how that comes off. But this wasn't your clutch. This wasn't what you expect from Tom Brady.
And I don't get how they, for the first half, whatever it is, they didn't throw to Gronk.
Right.
Right. Maybe he's not 100% healthy. But you saw at the beginning of the third quarter, when they throw to that guy, beast. Like nobody, you can't defend what he brings. If you put that ball sort of from his belly button to about a foot over his head.
Yeah, he's got it.
He's got it. And nobody else is going to get it.
Right.
And it's just, you can't stop what that guy brings. And so, yeah, there's a couple he didn't throw close to him.
So do you think, despite what I've said, you've brought up that fourth and one,
How about the other fourth and one that took place like out at the it close to midfield, and they went for it again anyways.
I think it was too early in the game for it to be that one big memorable. I think this was a really exciting football game that probably isn't going to hold up all time in terms of your great Super Bowls. Yeah. I think Nick Foles is a great story.
Nick Foles goes to being a backup next year, and then. Fizzles off into oblivion after that.
I think so.
He may end up. Somebody may go, okay, well, that guy can be a starting quarterback.
Worth a shot, right?
Yeah, he can be a starting quarterback behind that line with that running group. And yeah, okay. You put him in some other place, it ain't happening.
No, of course. Like Philadelphia was great all season long. Then had the unthinkable happen and managed to, you know, you had a good. Playoff seed lined up, you were kind of ready to rock. And he's full value.
Underdogs, though, in all three playoff games.
Sure. Well, once you lose your...
Yeah, like potential MVP candidate in Carson Wentz.
To me, when you talk about Doug Peterson, whatever, the coach there in Philly, the biggest thing that they did compared to Atlanta last year, just stay aggressive.
Yep.
Just keep running it. Keep pushing it. Understand going in. And I've got...
Jacksonville 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Well, and I've got a couple of, not that I know them really well or anything, but I got a couple of Eagles fans on Twitter that I follow and like that at halftime, I'm going, oh my God, like I'd almost have preferred to just be down and out and just know this is over, right? Because you go in leading going, oh, I've seen this before. This is what they do, right?
But
this
it felt different to me.
I don't know if it did to me or not. It was very, they just.
Well, when they come out and take the lead,
yeah,
because that's what happened. They had three straight possessions with touchdowns, and then they take the lead, right? You're like, okay. And then right away, Philadelphia punches them in the mouth back, and you're like, it's on. And to me, as you said, Peterson stayed aggressive. And what Jacksonville didn't do 2 weeks ago, what Atlanta didn't do the year before, right? You got to know, because as we've talked about on this show before, the Patriots just do what they do.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. So you can't change what you do.
No, that's right.
You got to stay aggressive. And most teams don't because they fall into that, be conservative. We got a lead. We're doing this. No, they stayed aggressive. Little gamble. Yep. Went for a bunch of things. Man.
It was fun. And I, to be honest with you, dislike both fan bases.
Yeah,
well, didn't want to wish joy upon a Philadelphia. Yeah,
they're wicked
base.
Douches, both of them.
But did you see the or hear about the Duracell tweet?
No.
Duracell puts out a tweet that separates them from so many corporate Twitter accounts that aren't worth following. Going, Duracell has a long storied history in Philadelphia sports. Congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles. And there's a picture, you know, of people chucking batteries.
Okay, yeah.
And they've got fly Duracell, fly a Duracell. Well, like Eagles, people having a good time.
This is the Eagles for sure. The batteries in snowballs. That's what they're, whatever else.
The other one that I enjoyed around this was, what do you think of the halftime show?
Cut the lip syncing bullshit. That's what I got to say.
I'm not a fan of any of these people's music.
Okay, but
I thought Lady Gaga and Katy Perry were both much better than Justin Timberlake.
See, Justin Timberlake, wicked talented.
Of course.
Right. To me.
But it wasn't.
He didn't sing any of that. And the idea that you're going to take 9 songs and cram it into 3 songs.
Right.
I doesn't do a thing for me.
Did you see Pink sing the national anthem?
I did.
What'd you think of that? You know me, I'm a big Pink. I like her.
Everybody loves Pink.
Yeah. So
it's a silent five over here.
Somebody puts out a tweet that says, Pink blew the national anthem. If you like her or any of her music, you're dumb. And she goes,
who tweets that out?
She goes and finds, I don't know, there must have been 3 million people tweeting at her at the time she's doing this, right? For some reason, she finds this tweet, quote tweets it, and says, yeah, but I suck at singing our national anthem in front of 100 million people at the Super Bowl. You suck while sitting on your dirty couch.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And perfect.
Love Pink.
But that's the perfect response.
Yeah. No, for sure.
All those people who say, yeah, that guy, that 6 defenseman for whoever, they suck. You're like, yeah.
Right. What are you doing?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You're just sitting again. That's too late. On your dirty couch, wearing your stained maple leaf jersey.
Oh, I see. I got this thing that.
Hey, and moving forward though, before we get into whatever your thing is,
yeah,
I am totally. I'm on it. I subscribed today to the Los Angeles Rams newsletter.
Why?
Because that's going to be my team. I can't get on the Eagles bandwagon.
No.
They were an interesting story all year. Then the bastards went and won.
Oh, the bastards.
which then gives you, you know. So, no, you know, the Rams, Goff, Gurley, I'm gonna subscribe to that. That's going to be my team going forward because I think they're going to be great. And, yeah, I'm on the NFL bandwagon right at this moment.
Yeah. It's a long time till September.
Yeah, it's okay. I got a lot of shit to do.
No, you don't.
I'm going to hang out here with you, man, and we're going to talk sports.
Right here in my bat cave.
Right here.
This is my bat cave.
Yeah, for
without
sure
it, I'm just a guy in a silly cape.
Well, this is it. In underwear.
Yeah.
What of it?
Batman didn't have a boiler like that. I'd watch that movie.
I can't see your utility belt. Somewhere under your boiler. Grappling hook.
Pull me out of the chair is what that says. I wanted to talk very briefly.
Good one.
About the commercials.
Yep.
Which feed did you watch? Did you watch
the
American?
I watched the CTV feed.
Did they have their little trivia thing going in there?
I did.
Win
and honestly, I wanted to win cash.
I like it. I like that they're doing something. Here's my thing. There are 3 groups of losers, and I'm sorry that I'm about to offend a good portion of our listening audience.
And I like Natasha Stanishevsky.
Yep.
And Tessa
Bonham. Kate Darnass. Yeah. Was it Tessa? Was she the other
nope,
one?
No, there's just 2 of them.
Yeah, but you said Tessa Bonham.
It was Tessa Bonham,
yes,
and Natasha Stanishevsky. Okay.
It was not Kate Darnass.
Not right. This year.
Okay. Here's the thing in quick summation. CTV is super pissed that you are now allowed to see American ads. In theory, what used to happen was the game would be shown in Canada on CTV and also on whoever had it, NBC or Fox or whatever, which also came in on most people's cable packages. This year was NBC. And what used to happen is even if you were watching on the NBC feed, they would get to...
cut away to the Canadian commercials.
That's right. And that doesn't happen. It didn't happen last year, and it didn't happen this year. And CTV's pissed. They've gone to the CRTC. The NFL has gone with CTV because when they show American commercials here, no one gets any money for it. Like if it's a Budweiser commercial and you go and buy Budweiser at the beer store, that doesn't help Budweiser USA, right?
It helps Labatt's.
Sure. So this has become a thing, and CTV then needs to find other ways to entice you to watch the game on their feed. And so they've started doing, and good for them for trying to find a way to, I don't know if it was trivia or...
No, just texting.
Texting what?
They'd give you, they'd say, and it would be within 5 minutes, they would say...
Because I watched the American feed, and I'll get to that in a second, so you tell me.
Yeah, they would say, you know, text to 36480, sure. Miami or Atlanta. Atlanta is the site of next year's Super Bowl. So you'd just type in, you'd say, Atlanta, Rob Christie, Ottawa.
Right.
And you'd send it off.
Maybe you'd win some money or
and then
some
they draw it in. There was,
something.
There was, I think, three separate $50,000,
right.
A $150, and then all expenses to next year's Super Bowl was another.
Which would you rather have?
150G, yeah. Please.
Oh, I thought you said it was 50G. But
no, 50, 50, 50, 150.
Okay.
Four separate, and then there was
what if it was just the 50 versus the Super Bowl?
50 grand,
yeah,
thanks.
For sure, me too.
I'm going to eat horse shit for 50 grand. I'm taking it for nothing, thank you.
So that's kind of what's happening here. And my thing is there are three groups of losers here. Those of you who complain.
Are we in any one of those groups?
You'll be able to decide for yourself. I watched the American feed almost out of spite and then barely watched their commercials. I don't care. You, as a viewer, are now complaining that you aren't getting to see people sell to you. A, sell to you things that you can't buy because you're in Canada. But if you're a cable cutter, if you're one of these people complaining about the cost of your cable, if you're one of these people who hates commercials and that's why you PVR things, one day a year, you're now complaining that people can't sell to you from another country. That pisses me off. The NFL went to the CRTC, the Canadian television overlords, and said, you can't show American ads up there. We need CTV to be healthy. And fuck the NFL because they're dirty as shit too. And
for sure,
I'm not interested in helping them make any money.
It's the filthy lucre right there.
And CTV, who to me is, I like what they did this year in terms of trying to find other ways to get you to watch their, but I don't care that they can't sell commercials either. This is one of those things where it's a dying model of broadcasting. It's a dying model of television. And it's, to me, inconsequential that you don't get to make as much money as you wanted to off of me, basically. And so I watched the game on the American feed. It wasn't necessarily intentional because I don't care about the American Super Bowl ads either. Again, it's just people trying to sell me shit. But I flipped it to that feed and then I got up and took a piss or went and got another beer.
That most I didn't find very funny or entertaining to begin with.
And that's what I'm saying, is this has become this thing where half the people watching the Super Bowl are watching for the commercials, and why? The rest of your year, you're going, I hate commercials, and I'm going to fast forward, and I'm going to... It's just another day where people spend a pile of money trying to sell you shit. Budweiser spent $5 million on their commercial to tell you that they donated $100,000 in water to South Africa. That is a poor investment.
Like, people want to see the horses, man.
Well, then watch the Philadelphia postgame show where people are eating shit off the sidewalk.
Could you not have done the horses and have them tell you at the end, you know, the horse with the peanut butter and its
gums? I just don't get it, man. I don't get it. It's commercials.
I don't get
it's
that. Well, see, this is it. I don't get the boner people have for these commercials to begin with. So, oh, did you see what?
So fuck the NFL. Because always fuck the NFL. The Super Bowl was fun, but fuck them for thinking, well, we're not getting our extra tiny little bit of whatever out of
Canada. Just hang around.
Fuck
the
CTV.
NFL will fuck themselves. That's okay.
That's going to happen for sure. fuck CTV and, you know, fuck you for thinking that you need to see these commercials. That's what I think of you good listener who loves the Super
Bowl. I think we've just found the title for this show.
Fuck you, listener.
Fuck you.
iTunes doesn't allow the F word to show up.
Okay, well, then they're not listening to the show.
We'll dance around it somehow. We'll find a way. I wanted to, last thing here, unless you have anything else on the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, it's not the last thing. The last thing on the Super Bowl? Is that what you're going to say? No, I got nothing left on the Super Bowl.
Yeah, me neither.
Other than I'm interested in Malcolm Butler. That whole thing is very interesting, yeah. But we don't have to get into that.
No, and we can as we kind of move through the off season.
Yep.
And, in the meantime, Tom Brady and his whatever beautiful wife can sit back, scarfing down Tide Pods and crying over a lost game.
That's yeah. How that's going. Yeah. I do not shed a tear for you, Tom Brady. I don't care that you weren't the starter at Michigan. I don't give a shit about that. I don't care that you were drafted in the sixth round and you want to hang around till you're 106. We don't give a shit about any of those things. Back to you, Matt.
As an outsider, do you think it's possible that a divide is evolving in the Leafs dressing room
between
the young guard, the new guys, whatever, and those who've been there for a while? And I'm going to lay this out just before I let you answer to the listener. The Leafs had a bit of a struggle before the All-Star break, before their kind of week off, bye week, I guess we're calling it. And Freddie Anderson, Austin Matthews, and Morgan Rielly travel down to Mexico together. And those are the three guys who are going to spend – lots of groups travel all over the place.
Bye week.
That's an interesting group. They come back. They play poorly in one game.
And who was it again? Freddie Anderson, Austin Matthews, and Morgan.
Yep.
Right.
They come back. They play one or two poor games. They lose a game they shouldn't have lost in Philadelphia before they come into Ottawa. Freddie Anderson stands
and
up.
And won a game they shouldn't have won there?
That was a pretty bad game for both teams, to be
for
honest
sure.
with you.
Yeah.
Leafs had a better third period and got out of it, but
always,
didn't play.
Always seem to.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I think
Ottawa.
Babcock has won like 2 out of 8 games against Ottawa since he took over in Toronto. So after the Philadelphia game, Freddie Anderson stands up. Not only does he need to talk about, he talks about who wants to be here, right? Who wants to play for this. But he also talks about the power play because they gave up another, I think, a shorthanded goal and a couple of sweet shorthanded chances against. And talks about, I'm sure, some of the guys that are sitting on the bench as being frustrated. And he's clearly, though he's not saying it, pointing at the Bozak-JVR combination that are leading that second power play group, which is, for some reason, actually our first power play group. Austin Matthews is on the bench. Mitch Marner is on the bench. William Nylander is on the bench when these things are happening.
Where's Marlowe?
Interesting because he's one of the new guys. He's a veteran. I don't know if he – well, he's normally on the ice with the Matthews group for the power play.
Okay, and he's a heavy shit eater anyways.
Just like you, Philly.
Yep. He doesn't rock the boat too much, that guy.
Well, we've talked about
Aneroid Saskatchewan.
Or JR coming to give him shit. I wonder if you're not looking at a situation where – those three guys I mentioned, Matthews, Rielly, and Anderson, travel together as kind of the pillars of their position, or, you know, kind of the guys leading the team now.
Forward D and a goalie, is that what you're...
Yeah, and you go, would you not talk shop? You're taking a week off. At some point, it's going to come up. You've had a few.
When are they going to trade JVR, right? Is that what they're saying? When are they going to get rid of that guy and see if we can bring in something?
To me, maybe Bozy more than JVR. But I wonder if it's not, you know, obviously it's going to come up. Obviously you're going to talk shop a little bit.
Of course you are.
And at some point, that young group is going, hey, Bozak, JVR, you were here when this team was fucking finishing last. Can you give a fuck a little bit? Can you?
See, and it's interesting as an... Are you now tossing it to
by
me?
By all means, because I've set the table.
See, because to me, as an outsider, I think what makes that team successful is you have the Bozak JVR cadre kind of mix where those guys aren't good enough on their own to make a team a contender.
Right.
Right. But they're good enough to support Marner, Nylander, Matthews. Right.
When you get pushed down the lineup as a first line, they're not good enough. As a third line, they're very much good enough.
And this is it. And so to me, that's one of Toronto's strengths right now, I think, is that they have these guys who are existing and they go, okay, you're slotted properly now. Boom. You're in that spot. Yeah, I would hope not. I would hope that that's not the case because they are very rapidly. If they have to play Boston in the first round this year, they're getting bum fucked. and you've already lost a year of your...
Well, would you rather see them play Tampa?
No. I think either one of those, you're biting the pillow.
Toronto's won,
and it's not close.
Toronto's won 2 out of 3 against Boston.
Yeah, how did you feel about that last game?
I didn't love it.
To me, that is a team, and we talked about that when they came through Ottawa. An Ottawa guy saying, "Yeah, I know we got pounded, but that's the best team we've seen all year."
Yeah,
and I think when you look at that they've taken 19 out of 20 games, they've taken points.
Yeah, I think Rask has one regulation loss since November 3rd or something
right.
stupid.
And you and I both had them as bubble teams.
Yep.
Right? And so...
I'm not as concerned about the loss to Boston as a lot of people are. It was concerning, but not as...
Can you win a series in 3 games?
Well, like I said, we've won 2 out of 3 against them.
Yeah. When were the first two?
November.
Yeah, I was going to say...
Well, that's in the realm of their hotness, if we're calling... Look, here's what I would encourage you to look at, because... At best, we're going to saw even with that top line, right? Austin Matthews versus Bergeron, right? That's a tough, tough matchup. But then you have the Bozak line and the Kadri line. I think we're better in both of those. Their blue line is better. And right now, and you're going to balk at this, the goaltending's a saw-off.
Yeah, okay. I do balk at that.
Well, Freddie Anderson is a top 10 goalie since November 1st.
He's been playing well. I'll give you that. But to me, he's 1-0.
So here is what I would encourage you to look at. If Chara is your shutdown pair and McAvoy and him have been fantastic together, he's going to play the left side against either Nylander, Marner, Brown, or Kapanen. All of those guys much faster than him. Now, you got to man up. You got to be willing to go in there and get him. But Toronto has danced a lot of people's blue line.
Yeah, and do you really see that happening? So if Chara
over seven games,
if Chara is your guy, you do have, and the guy's name escapes me. There's Krug, Carlo,
yep,
McAvoy, and the guy's
Miller,
name, yep,
Colin Miller.
Yeah, but it's the other, and he's a young guy. And I bought.
Well, they've got McQuaid. They've got a few different.
Yeah, no, and he's young. Anyways,
McAvoy. Okay.
I botched it a couple shows ago too.
All right. Look, I'm not saying Toronto's walking through that series. I just don't think it's one-sided Boston the way you do.
I totally see it that way.
Yeah.
And you're more willing to go on a November, on a game in November than what we've seen most recently.
Well, what have we seen out of Tampa most recently? It's hard to stay hot for that long. And at some point, Boston's going to cool.
So you know how colossally bad Ottawa's been?
I do, yes.
But they came home November 19th from Sweden with a 3-point lead on the Bruins, right?
Yeah.
They're now 30 points behind them.
Yeah, but Toronto isn't.
Okay, but you know how far behind Toronto they were? They had to be 15 points behind Toronto. They are now, what, 6 in front?
5 in front with 3 in hand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, that's a spicy thing that's been going on for 3 months now.
They are much better than either of us predicted them.
Way better. And now that's the health of Rask.
I would still give you Boston as the favorite. I don't think it – after Saturday night, all of a sudden everyone, oh my God, this isn't close. I still think one game, that's an awful lot to be reading into head-to-head.
I think part of it is –
Toronto on third and four nights on the road.
And I got no dog in the game.
Yeah, you do though. You won't. You don't want to see Toronto do well.
Okay, you're right, I don't. But I'm not loving seeing Boston do that well either.
Right.
But if you look at, and I've lost my
you
train of thought.
You will be a Boston fan if that series happens.
For sure I will.
Yes.
Of course I will. Yeah, that's not a problem.
Right.
And again, as I said, where I was going with that was no skin in the game. And I was really interested in where you felt about that game. And you've answered it, right? And so. Yeah,
it's a tough series.
To me,
Boston's probably the favorite.
Yeah. All right.
I don't think it's a 4-game, 5-game series. I think Chara is going to struggle to keep up with those four right wingers. We're going to run at him over.
Well,
everyone said that going in, and I can't believe that I'm referencing this as a strength of Toronto. But in that 2013 series, everyone said Chara was going to dominate Kessel. But by the end of that series, he couldn't keep up with Kessel anymore. Now we have four of them.
Okay, but that's been the hallmark of – you go back to – Chara getting walked by Sabres when he was here in Ottawa, right? And that was his ticket out of town, right? When little Tiny, you know, you got a bunch of guys. Palmerville, Derek Roy. Yeah.
Chris Drury.
Briere. And they're all just buzzing by him. Like, yeah, he's taking tickets at the cinema. Whoop, whoop, whoop. And so, yeah, that's going to happen. But Bruce Cassidy and the setup that he has there with the mobile defense that they have with those other guys, Krug, Carlo, McAvoy, and then guy that I can't remember his name.
Love that guy.
Okay, but
so the difference is
those are in-game adjustments, and if Chara is getting walked, he's out.
So tell me you agree with me that Toronto's offensive forward depth is better than Boston's.
For sure. Okay, I think Toronto's offensive depth is better than probably
I agree with you.
Most
that,
teams.
That Boston's defensive depth is better. Where we disagree is that the goaltending is a soft.
We do. We do disagree on that.
Okay. Well, we're probably going to get a chance to see Toronto still. Not that this matters.
We absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. That is going to happen.
That is locked in.
Yeah. Toronto, for some reason, still has four games left with Buffalo. Not that that's any kind of measuring stick, right, but well, sweet.
And this, is, this is providing that the Bruins don't catch this, don't catch Tampa.
I'm not wanting to see that either. Like, to me, that's a worse matchup for us. Tampa plays much more like Toronto does and is better at it. That's the...
Well, and you know what? An interesting thing is, and you watched the other night, Edmonton blitzed Tampa. Now they're on. But they're on the eighth game of an eight-game road trip.
That's right.
Right. Huge.
But fuck McDavid. You see that first goal?
Yeah.
Just chipping it up over the shoulder. Oh my
God. But and where I'm going with this is more his third goal, where he totally walks Sergachev.
Yeah.
Right. Who's a guy who's clearly hit the wall. Right.
Looks like in that kind of first pro season, right?
Yeah, that he's sort of great first half.
Yeah, what happens?
And so, and people look at me and go, hey, he's got that Russian look. He looks a little sluggish or not interested. Yeah. You're like, and I'm wondering, right, if that guy is going to be.
Well, Vasilevsky too, right? Like first half, like nobody's business. And then all of a sudden, he looks human.
So, you know what? That may be your better option.
No, I still don't think so.
Okay.
I still think it's possible. Boston does catch and pass Tampa. I don't think that's a better matchup.
Which is a crazy turn of events.
That's Tall Can Sports.
See ya.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.